Thank you. Good morning, congregation, and welcome to any visitors who are with us. We also welcome anyone who is listening online. The council has the following announcement. The congregation is reminded of a meeting this week, Tuesday, that's May the 12th, at 8 p.m. in this church building, where Martin van Woudenberg of the Aldergrove congregation will present Behind the Screen, Digital Parenting. Please sign the sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer if you plan to attend. The song of approach this morning is hymn 40, stanza 1 and 2.
Please rise. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. With the myriads of angels, all the company of heaven and the church on earth, let us worship the Lord. Brothers and sisters, where do we find our help? Our help is in the name of the Lord,
the Maker of heaven and earth.
Receive his greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us continue praising our God and our ascended Lord Jesus Christ, whose ascension we remember this coming Thursday, by singing hymn 45.
Thank you.
Jesus, our King, reigns in heaven, and from heaven he rules us. The Ten Commandments are the rule for the Christian life, which he gives to us. They have not only been given to us by God, but they have also been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has sent his Spirit so that we are able also to fulfill them. Let us hear these 10 words and respond afterwards by singing again of Christ's ascension, as that is predicted in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, stanza 4 is what we will sing. Our God, who has saved us in Christ, declares these words to us, the 10 words of the covenant. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Our Lord Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments as follows when he says in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So love of God and of our neighbor is really the constitution of the kingdom of Christ.
Thank you.
Let us now seek the face of our God in prayer. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, through Jesus, your risen and ascended Son, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Gracious Father, through Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, you again shine your favor upon us this day. We confess our sins to you and ask you to be merciful to us. We have sinned in our minds. We have sinned with our tongues. We have sinned with our bodies. Against all your commandments. Have mercy on us according to your promises to us in Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness. Cause his light to shine on us so that we might be healed. Strengthen us this day by your word and spirit. Inscribe your word on our hearts. Impart the wisdom, understanding, and truth of your Son, Jesus, who is the Word, to us. Strengthen us also through the sacrament of the Holy Supper. Father, Lord Jesus, we do not presume to come to your table trusting in our own righteousness. For we are not even worthy of gathering the crumbs from under your table, let alone to be fed with your body and blood. We only come because of your great mercy toward us. And we come eagerly, asking you to feed us, to fill us, to heal us, to bless us. We open wide our mouths, O Lord. Feed us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We now open Holy Scripture. In the Old and New Testaments, our first reading is from Psalm 68. The second is from Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. Like I mentioned earlier, on Thursday, the church remembers the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. You will know that Jesus' ascension happened 40 days after his resurrection and 10 days before Pentecost when he poured out his Holy Spirit on the church. And Psalm 68 is one of the Old Testament predictions of the ascension. So we'll read this psalm before turning to the report of the ascension in Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. So first, Psalm 68, in the Pew Bibles, that is found on page 411 or 888. Psalm 68. And here we read the Word of God, as it has been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, our ascended King. For the director of music of David, a psalm, a song. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, Sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps men divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the campfires, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Selah. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely, God, you will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that you may plunge your feet in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Your procession has come into view, O God, the procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians, with them are the maidens playing tambourines. Praise God in the congregation, praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There are the great throng of Judah's princes, and there are the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations. Humbled, may it bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord. Selah. To him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice, proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Now we read of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 1, the verses 1 through 14. In the Pew Bibles, that's on page 770 and 1675. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, and this is Luke writing, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We now proceed to the sacrament of the Holy Supper and the ministry of the Word at the table. If you care to follow along, you can find the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper in the Book of Praise, and you can find that on page 592 and following of the Book of Praise. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. The wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord, and we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner, all who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way, all who do not diligently attend the worship services, and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments, all who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them, all who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him, all who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure, all who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life, all liars, backbiters, and slanderers, briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he has taken our curse upon himself that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and never more be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him, and he declared, saying, As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you are reminded and assured of my hearty love and faithfulness toward you. It is a sure pledge that I have given my body and shed my blood for you. Otherwise, you would have suffered eternal death. I nourish and refresh your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As certainly as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal, for by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, 1 Corinthians 10. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another, and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty, Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to receive all of this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. We do that with the words of the Apostles' Creed, set to music in hymn 1. Let us stand and sing hymn 1.
Thank you.
morning, we also welcome the members of the Chinese Reformed Church who are present with us this morning to join us at the table to enjoy fellowship with us. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Before the table, the tables, let us sing hymn 59, the Lord's Supper hymn.
Thank you.
This morning, we consider John 20, verse 17. I'll read the context of that. Beginning at verse 10, "Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said," and this is the text that we consider this morning, "Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word that is preached to you." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, and that of course includes the children, over the past couple weeks we've had some sermons on the end of John's Gospel. It seemed fitting to choose this short text in John 20 as a way for us to spend some time this morning thinking about Jesus' ascension into heaven, which we remember on Thursday. Maybe you've noticed in your reading of the Gospels that Jesus is a little different around his disciples after he rises from the dead. He doesn't travel around with them anymore. He doesn't spend nearly as much time with them as he did before. Luke summarizes it this way, as we read, "He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God." He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. Off and on, he appeared to them. And it's during this interim period between his resurrection and his ascension that Mary meets Jesus near the tomb. And as soon as she recognizes him, she grabs on to him. If this is the same incident as the one described by Matthew, which it likely is, Mary clasps Jesus' feet. But Jesus tells Mary, "Do not hold on to me." Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say to Mary, who's grieving over his death and who now sees her Savior, "Don't hold on to me"? Well, the reason is not to push Mary away. Rather, Jesus wants to get Mary ready for something greater to happen. He tells Mary, in our text, that he's getting ready to return to his Father in heaven. And that's going to be better for Mary than being able to hold him down here on earth. What Jesus is really indicating to Mary is that she shouldn't think too much anymore about the way things used to be. At least she shouldn't cling to the familiar past. Jesus wants Mary now to turn and open her eyes to the future, a future that is much greater than anything she's ever known. There's a lesson here for us, isn't there, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we want to hold on to the past, whether they're the ways of the past, the events of the past, or the people we've met or become attached to in the past, whether they're friends or family or spouses, maybe even leaders or teachers we came to know or love, we want to hold on to that. We want to hold on to those people. Here in our text, Jesus directs us as much as Mary to the future. Yes, he's done some great things for us in the past, and it's good for us to remember those things, even celebrate them. That's what we're doing this morning, as we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the future that our God has in store for us is going to be much better than our best memories of the past. This morning, Jesus, our ascended King, serves up a meal to us to get us thinking about that better tomorrow. Yes, we are remembering his death, but we're remembering his death in order that we may look forward to that glorious future that he has for us. So, whatever good memories we have here, yes, even the blessed memory of his death and resurrection, those memories find their true meaning, their significance, and joy in his coming kingdom. Remember what we read in Acts 1 verse 3. During the time between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus spent his time talking to his disciples about what? Acts 1 verse 3. He spent his time talking to his disciples about the kingdom of God. As we listen to Jesus this morning and eat the bread and wine that he serves us, as he shares with us his body and blood, let's keep our minds on his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. Let's not be holding on too tightly to all that is near and dear to us here. He's preparing a kingdom for us, which is far more glorious than anything we have here. And this meal that we have this morning is a foretaste that Jesus gives us to get our minds on that track, not stuck in the past, but embracing the future. The best of the past, the best we've experienced and remember, cannot compete with the future that he's preparing for us. We'll eat together after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We'll drink together after the wine has been distributed. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us sing at this table to our ascended King who serves us now, hymn 41. Stanza 1, Christ above all glory seated.
Thank you.
Through this episode, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to give Mary and also you and me, also you children, the right perspective on his ascension. Jesus wants Mary to be released from her temporary hold on him. I should put it differently. Jesus wants Mary to release her temporary hold on him so that she can enjoy his presence and company eternally. So Mary has to release her temporary hold on him now that Jesus is within her reach, so that she can enjoy his presence and company forever, always. In fact, from his throne where he's going to ascend, Jesus will hold on to her. Jesus will hold on to Mary. And no one will snatch her from him. To ask the question in the theme of the sermon, who's holding on? Mary can't hold on to Jesus anymore. But that's okay, because Jesus will hold on to her. And that's true for all of us, brothers and sisters. Jesus doesn't only want to make sure that Mary Magdalene has the right perspective on his impending ascension. He wants all his disciples to have this perspective. Also you and me. Remember what John says at the end of John 20? We've heard it a few times over the past couple of weeks. He says at the end of John 20 and something similar at the end of John 21, "But these things are written that you, the reader, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And that includes you and me. For notice what Jesus tells Mary to do instead of holding on to him. Jesus tells her, like we read in our text, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus wants Mary to let his feet go, and then he sets her feet in motion. He sends her on her feet to tell all the disciples so that all of them will have the right perspective on his ascension. And did you notice how Jesus puts it here in John 20, verse 17? Jesus doesn't say, "Go and tell my brothers, I'm leaving you now. I'm going away now." No, he tells Mary, "Go and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father." You see, Jesus' disciples need to realize that when he ascends, they will not be losing something. They will be gaining something. Do we understand that, brothers and sisters? Jesus' ascension into heaven is not our loss. It is our gain. We are gaining something with Jesus' ascension. Exactly how, we'll consider at the last table. We'll eat together after the bread has been distributed. Bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. At this table, let's sing the second stanza of hymn 42. There your kingdoms all adore you.
Thank you.
Remember how Jesus once told his disciples, "I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends." That's earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 15. And now here in John 20, Jesus goes one step further and even calls them brothers. Yes, there are now brothers of the Lord Jesus who belong to the same house as Jesus, the house of the Father. When Jesus ascends to heaven, they are not losing their beloved Master. Rather, they're gaining a new home address in heaven, a permanent one. And that new address is Jesus' Father's house. That's why the Lord Jesus doesn't want Mary to detain him. Jesus doesn't want Mary to hold him back. Jesus is going back home to his Father, not to get away from his disciples, but to make room for his disciples. Remember what Jesus had said to his disciples already before his death. "In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you." And he says that to us as well. One day we will enter Father's house. And we will enter not merely as visitors or as friends. We will enter the Father's house because it is now our permanent address, where we feel right at home, where right now Jesus is making ready new rooms for us. Jesus set Mary's feet in motion that day, and he also sets our feet in motion. Mary's destination was Galilee that day. And our destination is, well, it's into all the earth, bringing this good news to all people. But our ultimate destination is home. I'm not talking about the home that we'll walk or drive or bike to after church. Those places are just our temporary addresses, our temporary homes. This morning, Jesus orients us to his Father's home in heaven, where he himself sits enthroned as our ascended King. Brothers and sisters, children, that's where we're headed. The ascended Jesus is holding out his hand to you from his heavenly throne. Put your hand into his hand every day and trust yourself to him. Believe in him. Love him. Follow him. Listen to his voice. He will hold on to you. And he will never let you go. Amen. We'll eat the bread together after it has been distributed. Bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. drank together after the wine has been distributed. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us now sing hymn 41, stanza 3. Lord, when you return in glory. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished us at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Therefore, my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. Gracious God, we thank you that in Christ we have all these blessings and treasures and gifts. We thank you for reminding us that you have an eternal home that you are preparing for us in the new heavens and the new earth. Help us to remember that in our lives. Also, as we deal with the struggles and the sins and the sicknesses and the other trials of our lives. Father, this morning we also remember our sister Hester Santema, that you'd be near her, that you would keep her, that you would continue to bless the treatment that she is receiving, and also help her and her husband Ron to accept how things are going. Father, we entrust her to you. We know, Lord, that if you do not extend her life as long as she and her husband had been expecting, we do know that she has an eternal home. And that is where we're all headed, every one of us. In fact, each one of us needs to be ready daily to meet you, our God, and our Savior. And so we pray that you would be near them, that you would be near Ron and Hester and their family. We also pray for Sister Marina Lauder, who cannot be here this morning. Lord, also sustain her. Give her hope. Give her confidence and joy in you, as you have been doing. Grant her the peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that is keeping her heart secure in Christ Jesus. Father, we also thank you that our sister Joanna Ostermeyer could return home, that she has been home since already over a week ago, and we pray that you would continue to be near her. Father, watch over and bless us all. Keep us all in the palm of your hand day by day. Lead us, O Lord, our shepherd and our redeemer, Jesus, our ascended Savior and King. In your name we pray. Amen. We now have the opportunity to bring our offerings to the Lord as tribute to our ascended King and for the benefit of his kingdom, the advancement of his kingdom, and that also includes the care of those who are in need. And afterwards, let us stand and sing as our parting hymn, hymn 62. Ooh. and sisters, receive the blessing of your God and your ascended King, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Like doing some work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have something that works well for that.